Tonight we're going to go into the 10th chapter of the book of Proverbs. And in going through the 10th chapter of the book of Proverbs, we're going to find out what it takes to be successful. The 10th chapter of Proverbs is actually going to talk about what people want, is how to be successful, and it's also going to show us how to obtain things that we want in life, not just godliness, but some of the things that we want in life. Sometimes people have the tendency to think that because you love God, that you're always supposed to be broke. You're always supposed to be destitute. And God will never give you any of the material things in life. Well, God not only owns everything and He distributes very freely, but the Bible shows that there are certain things that we as individuals can do to obtain things, material things, to obtain favor from people. And there are things that we as individuals can do to cause that to happen. Now we understand, because we've gone through the Proverbs and those of us who know the scripture, that should not be the focus of what your whole life with God is about. What I can get, what I can do. But if you have to work, why not try to get paid for what you're doing? If you want to provide a service, get paid for what you do. But in the meantime, as you're going through, don't lose sight on that you are serving the Almighty and a true and a living God. God's going to teach you how to do business His way and let you see what the benefits of it is. In verse 1, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon. Listen to this. A wise son maketh glad, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is heaviness, is the heaviness of his mother. Do you understand that when he's talking about this, a wise son, he can make his father just so proud. He can make his father happy that this is my son. But you could take a son that's foolish, that's played the fool with his life, and that child can make the father sad. I mean, make the mother so sad that she ever brought him into the world. Some women would say, I wished I'd have aborted you. That's how some women would say it. But he's saying, a son, when you're dealing with a parent that loves your child, has the ability to bring joy to your heart, or to bring you grief, or to bring you heaviness or sorrow. That's a maxim. That's a proverb, and that's complete right there. It's not like it's saying that the next one has to go with this. It's saying that this is something that you can hold on to. When you look at children, when you look at somebody getting ready to bring a parent, a child into the world, when you look at somebody that does not train their children, that very child can make your life heavy, make that mother heavy, and the father too. But that same child, if you train it, if you mold it, it can bring gladness to the father. If you go to the book of Kings with us, Randall, you'd see where a lot of sons sometimes would come up and make the father happy, and then sometimes they would get to reign on the throne with their daddy while their daddy's alive. But there'll be some, like, what's his name, Amnon, go and rape his sister, make that daddy's heart just as heavy as it can be. Well, it says, verse number 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Treasures of wickedness profiteth nothing. Do you understand the storehouse, the treasure, the things that they build up? That comes from wickedness, that comes from ungodliness, that which people want, that which people feel that is the very thing that they would have, get paid, and no matter what, Solomon says, that profits nothing. That would be different if I said that to people. But here's a man that had more wealth than anybody else I've ever known, that controlled more wealth, that controlled more people. His budget just for the food that would be given to his servants, without weighing anything I'll probably ever make in my life. And he says the treasures of wickedness profited nothing. When you really get down to it, it does not put you to good. It does not benefit you. Why do you say that, Tim? Your life, James says in chapter 3, is just like a vapor. And I believe it's chapter 4 of his book. It's like a vapor. It appears for a little while and it is gone. But then he says, but righteousness delivereth from death. You see, the very thing that usually go up against each other, Randall, is this. Sometimes people will want wealth so much that if righteousness will stand in the way of getting that wealth, they'll go for the wicked. If stealing something, doing something wrong, or dancing naked, or whatever the person can do to get paid, or whoring, or robbing, or whatever, will get a person a lot of treasures or a lot of money, a lot of people would do that. And if they see that being righteous means that you got a job that's not paying you that much, but you could do wickedly and get ahead, they would take that and let the righteousness go to have the treasures. But he's saying, but righteousness delivers from death. He said the main thing that you should be concerned about is life. You concerned about wealth? Life is the most important thing. And life comes from God. If you think I'm lying, find you anybody that's about to die that's wealthy. What do you think Isaac Hayes would have gave for another 2 or 3 years? What do you think Bernie Mac would have given for another 2 or 3 years? You think they would have been willing to give up all of the money that they had saved in stocks and bonds for another 3 years? I believe they would have, because as long as you're famous, somebody paid to do something else. Well, it says here, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. It said the Lord will not suffer, the Lord will not allow the soul of the righteous to famish. He will not allow the soul of the righteous to be brought down that low. He will not allow the soul of the righteous to have to go through that. And this is what Solomon is saying, that he won't allow you to just go through and be hungry and starve and all of that. He said, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. The soul of the righteous. The wicked can have treasures. The wicked can have everything. And he said, the Lord will cast that away. We don't know when. But let me tell you, every time a wicked man dies, believe me, that stuff is divided and conquered. And I see so much, it's so bad that the states want to get it. Federal government want to get it. They want to tax you on your capital gain. They want to do a death tax. But he said he will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. He didn't say you could never have a hunger. I mean, you see it when you look up the word, you see hunger. But I know what the scriptures teach. God provides for his children to have something to eat. They were crying one time, had nothing to eat, and God sent a manna from heaven. He did it himself. The song said God sent them angel food. You all ought to like the word of God because it's so pretty. Listen to this. He becometh rich. I said that backwards. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. What is this saying right here? What is this saying to us? It says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. He that is slothful, he that is slick, he that dealeth with a slack hand. It says the individual that will become poor if in your business you cheat people, if in your business you don't deliver, if in your business you've been found to be a liar, if in your business you have found to be the kind of person that's totally undependable. Taking advantage of people everywhere you go, there'll come a time when you can't do business anymore. There'll come a time when not only you can't do business anymore, but you also reap what you sow. But the Bible says, listen to this, Randall, the hand of the diligent, the hand of the one that's out there working, the one that's out there threshing, and the one that's out there doing things the way that he should. He's digging, he's threshing, he's planting, whatever it takes to provide what's needed to be provided, making the right decisions, using his instruments just like you would a sharp sickle, going through there to pick up the sheaves, to cut the sheaves. He said that makes rich. The hand of the diligent, the one that's on his job, the one that's providing service, it makes rich, it makes gain. Makes sense, doesn't it? And it's showing how to be successful. Now, think about this. That's in this life. That's in this life. The hand of the diligent can give you a bounty. Oh, but let's not forget the thrust of what scripture is all about. If you deal with God with a slack hand, if you deal with studying God's word with a slack hand, and it's the last thing on your list, I guarantee you, if you're going to deal with God like that, you're going to be the individual that's poor, and it's not talking about poor in spirit. We're talking about you have nothing to offer anybody. You have nothing about the life of God in you that's worth any while. And what you find out, you're destitute. If somebody could look at your spiritual man, he'd be skinny and impoverished and through. But the hand of the diligent, meditating in God's word day and night, studying God's word. The psalmist says that number one will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. Said the man, leaf also shall not wither. And then said, whatever he doeth shall prosper. If you look at this picture right here, that ought to tell you, don't be slack when it comes to business. Don't be slack when it comes to God. When you do these kind of things, your outcome is going to be what you desire, because you're showing by your desire, I'm willing to put forth the effort to see to it that it happens. That's beautiful, isn't it? But do you realize that a man that would just follow that on the natural level could get these blessings without even following God? Don't tell me you've never met somebody that don't love God, but if they fix your car, they're going to make sure it's right. Or if they cut your grass, they're going to make sure it's right. It's a business principle. But look at verse number 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causes shame. He that gathereth in the summer. He that gathers what's necessary. He that gathers during the time when the stuff is out here. Instead of you sitting around sleeping, he just sit around being stupid. He gathers, he stores it up, and you know what? When the wintertime comes and there's no more harvest, he's got something to eat on, am I right? Because he built it up, right? And it says the man that sleep, it says he causes shame. So you're begging. You're begging when you could have done. You're showing you wasted your time, you wasted your energy, you wasted your talent, you didn't use the thing that's between your two ears for good. But look at when you think about the things of God, how can you miss it? He that gathers in the summer is a wise son. When do you study God's word? When do you meditate on God's word? When do you take God's word into your heart? You don't take it in there when you got the opportunity. Take it in there when you got free time in the daytime. When you're not working on your job, you gather that inside. And when the time comes that you need it and you don't have access to the Bible, that thing is written in your heart. And that thing means you're wise. But there comes a time you're going to need God's word, and you don't have God's word readily available in your heart. And the people that you're around don't have it. And you go and make foolish decisions, and you cause yourself to suffer, and you be just like a beggar. Needing something. I know some women right now. They didn't gather their spiritual meat in the summer. And now they're going through the process now. They need that meat that they should have gathered. They needed that harvest that they needed that they should have been gathering when the harvest was available before the time of want and lack came. Now that the time of want and lack has come, they need a harvest right now. All right now, harvest. And it's not readily there available for them. It's not really available. So now they have to wait till they can get what they can get from God and from the hands of what God will give them from others. We're talking about practical wisdom to handle a situation. You can have a drought of wisdom of what to do in situations. And I'm telling you, that's many times just as bad as not having any food. When you don't know what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And everything is pulling at your wretched soul. Sometimes you'd rather be hungry than to be going through that hurt, that internal hurt. Verse number 6 says, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Blessings are upon the head, or the crown, of the just. Do you see when the Bible says in Romans 3, there's not a just man that's upon the earth? That, see, you got to understand, the Bible talk about just men all through it. The person, when they read Romans 3, they need to understand the context. He's saying that the blessings are upon the just. He's not saying that there's none that's just. He's saying a person that is righteous, a person that is just in his government, a person that is right in his cause, said the blessings of the Lord are upon that person. But violence, you're talking about stupidity? You're talking about somebody that's got injustice? Somebody that is cruel, it says that's in the mouth, or it covered the mouth of the wicked. In other words, when you're talking about concealing it, all that dirt, all that wickedness got his mouth covered. Why? That's what he's speaking. But listen to this one. Have you ever heard me talk about this before, Rich? The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. You ever heard me say that? I wish that I, when I die, I hope somebody at least miss one or two meals, and they can't hear that. Well, Tim Merritt died. Well, you know, pass me another cheeseburger. Or give me another glass of wine. Pass me a 40 or let's go to the movie. You think about it. If it's somebody you really love and they die, and you get ready to eat a big meal and you just find out about it, can't you see you can lose your appetite? Mm-hmm. I want the righteous, whenever I die, I want them to feel that they missed something. I at least want to be a one or two meal death. I want the wicked to have a party. You've heard me say that. I want them to give gifts. I want them to sing. I want them to give each other five. I want them, whatever they do, if they light it up, whatever it is, I want the wicked to rejoice when I'm gone. Because I have lived the life in such a way that they felt uncomfortable doing it. And he says, the memory of the just is blessed. Do you realize that when the wicked rejoice when you're dead, like the two witnesses in the book of the Revelation, like the people no doubt rejoiced when Jesus was crucified on the cross? Don't you know that showed blessing? Don't you know that was blessed? That meant that he had fulfilled his role. That meant he has kept the will of the Father. And the people felt about him like they did about the Father. They don't like the Father. They didn't like the Son. They didn't like the witnesses. And I'm telling you now, that's a blessing when the wicked rejoice when you die, if you're doing the work of God. But on the other side of that, those that love God, they'll do like they did when Dorcas died. Look, Peter. Look what she made. Look what she did, Peter. Look, Peter. Look what she did. Look what she made. And when it says blessing, you can be blessed in both ways. You can be blessed by those that don't like it as wicked, and blessed by those that love the Lord whose life you affected. It said, but the name of the wicked shall rot. When you think of Caesar Nero, when you think about Pharaoh, when you think about Jezebel, when you think about Adolf Hitler, when you think about the different ones that hung our ancestors up on the tree, when you think about people that have gone and molested and raped people and got away with it, when you think about people in our own neighborhood that we've known that shot and killed people and they seem to get away with it over and over, it said the name rot. I don't want my name to rot. I want my name to be a blessing. We've covered 7 verses already. Is there anything in those 7 verses right there that anybody that just want to kind of touch on a little bit before we move on? In that 7 verses. I see smiles. What about in the next 8 verses, 8 through 16? Anybody got anything they'd like to say on 8 through 16 before I cover it? Well, let's just move on. If you got some, just let me know. It says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fail. A prating fool. A dum-dum. A dummy. A prating fool will fail. Do you know that saying? One that's got a whole lot of mouth. Those that got a whole lot of stuff to say. I don't want to be that kind of person. But let's look at what it's saying. The wise in heart will receive commandments. He will listen. He can be instructed. He can be told what to do. He can get to the place where he can be blessed. But if an individual that's at the place that he just banged, an individual that's got too much mouth, too much to say, an individual that's too light, you know what I'm talking about, lightweight, you're not having much substance of value, it says, he shall fall, a prating fool will fall. I have seen people since the Lord has allowed me to do ministry and to serve his people. I have seen people that did not listen when they were given wisdom. I guess because I didn't speak in the tongue and I didn't have a halo over my head and I didn't lay my hand on them and say anything. But I have seen people that rejected wisdom and rejected instruction. I have seen that it happened in their life, that those things come and bite them on the tail. And it's not just them that can happen to. It can happen to me. It can happen to a man that's righteous. When somebody gives you wisdom and you don't have enough sense to see it, you have missed the opportunity to keep yourself from falling. But it says the prating fool, those that are vain, they're going to fall. Look at the difference. The wise receive the commandments, they're going to live. The prating fool is going to be thrust down. It's not like talking about they're going to slip, okay? That's more, it's more powerful than that. The word is labat. That means to be thrown down or to be thrust down, to be cast aside. That's what's going to happen to them. It's not accidental. Number 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that, the individual that lives his life and he walks uprightly, the word of God said that individual can be bold, he can have confidence, he can be sure. Why is that? Because if you're walking in God's life, you can be like David. When David went up there and told Saul, I'll fight that giant, there was no fear in David. He was walking surely. My Lord let me kill my Lord one time. The bear got after my sheep. Lion got after my sheep. And they dead now. This uncircumcised Philistine would be no more than them. He was walking uprightly. But he that perverted his way shall be known. That same Saul that David told that to, before the end of his life, here comes Saul to the witch of Endor. Here comes Saul trying to pretend like he was somebody he wasn't. Here comes Saul trying to chase after David in the cave, got his clothes down, getting ready to do a number 2, and everybody looking at him. God showed his rear end in more than one way. Yes, he did. A fool shall be known. Don't you know some people, even people that don't even love God, say, man, that's always, he just a fool. We are natural, how black people say it. He just a natural born fool. People can tell you that. The Bible says a fool shall be known. Number 10. He that winketh with the eye causes sorrow. He that winketh with the eye. This individual. Like it's okay. Look. Like I don't see it. The individual just wicked. So he that wicked with the eye causes sorrow. But the prating, look at this, of a fool shall fall. Again, how many times do you see that? It's in verse 8 and verse 10. What do you think about that? Twice.
Emphasizing.
Maybe sometimes when we think we're heavy and we think that we're deep, maybe we're not as heavy and deep as we think that we are. I meet people, even at a talk today with somebody that was wanting to sound wise, that was wanting to sound deep, wanting to take and deconstruct the word of God and make God's word say something that it didn't say. And in my mindset, that person was lowering themselves every time that happened. And I believe that kind of person is ready for a fall. I believe that with all my heart. Because I'm not impressed with somebody playing with God's word. That irritates me. It really does. And then for the Bible to say that the prating of the fool shall fall, I think what is happening is here is that he's letting people know something that many times people don't even take into consideration. All our vain talk, our boasting, our big thing, what we gonna do and what we gonna say and all of it, and then we say it. I believe in my soul that the individual that is like that, I think they put themselves in a position by their lightness and pretending that they have heaviness. That God almost judges them like he does a teacher. You know when it talking about, remember when the Bible talk about an individual that teaches, don't be many masters, you'll receive a greater condemnation. You putting yourself out there like you all of that when you're not, but you're going to be judged the same way. We're in the book of Jeremiah, we're going to see it in chapter 23. It's going to be in there really, real, real pretty. I almost can't wait to teach it. I might even skip ahead. I might skip ahead if I can't hold back. Skip ahead just to teach chapter 23. But we're moving right along in there. So an individual that winks with the eye and let everything slide, that individual causes sorrow. Who wants to judge like that? Who wants to judge that just winks the eye like some of the people in the Masonic Lodge can do their symbols and get away with stuff and the victim still have to suffer? Number 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Let your words have some meaning. Let your words have some juice. Let your words have God's word in it so that people can draw life from your words. It said the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. That's the second time that he said that. Violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Didn't he say that earlier? That if violence covers the mouth of the wicked, I submit to you, some of the songs that people like to sing, that mouth is covered with violence. And we might want to start thinking about some of the things that come out of our mouth. Think about that thing right there in the middle of your head that's saying stuff. Because out of the abundance of that man's heart, his mouth speaks. Look at 12. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth sins. Hatred stirs it up. I don't know if you all know anything about walking in the pasture where the bulls and the cows live. I don't know if you all know anything about that. Mm-hmm. But there'll be things out there that they call cow chips.
Yeah.
If you happen to step in one of those and kind of twist a little bit or slip up in it a little bit, do you know that it'll stir up something?
Yeah, stir up something.
And it'll be on your shoe. And you would never know the grass to smell that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same thing. Hatred stirs up strife. I get go say, well, you know, well, Rich Lee said, Randall said, I just wouldn't take that if I was you, because you know Randall, he quick to talk behind your back, and you know Rich was telling Randall, and you know they were laughing at you, stirring up strife. Might not even be true, but hatred. Because I want to see the worst for all three of you. But it's a love covereth all sins. When you get the way you love somebody, you don't tell all their faults. You don't tell it all. You keep some stuff to yourself. And you try to help the person yourself. Now, how does God do that? God tries to cover our sin by the death, the burial, the resurrection of his son. And you know what we do so many times? We keep with the hatred in our mouth. We keep stirring up strife and won't let God cover our sin. We stupid people at many times. That's who we are. Lord have mercy. Look at number 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. Listen to this. In the lips of him that has understanding, in the lips of the person that God is blessed to be able to discern and to understand things, wisdom is found. But I will submit to you that in the lips of those where understanding is found, people will not want to hear it. They will not care to hear it. They will fight against that wisdom. They will want to compare themselves, and they want to make themselves have the understanding that the other person has that has the wisdom, and they have paid the price for it. You ought to come to my job sometime, and I work with chemicals, and I know what I'm talking about. I know if something is a synthetic pyrethroid. I know if something is an organic phosphate. I know if it works on the central nervous system or the exoskeleton of the insect, and someone will have read something on the web and maybe got it right or wrong, and they come in and ain't going to tell me how to do it. And many times, you may have read that and it may be what it said, but I have used this product. Other people have used this product, and it did not live up to the expectation that was given. And so here you have a person in that particular situation, the man that has understanding, wisdom is found. But the individual don't want to find the wisdom. They just want you to agree with them. It's the same thing when it comes to the blessed word of God from God Almighty, who is blessed forever. You can understand God's word. You can understand how God's word works. You can understand how it works from the creation all the way to the book of the Revelation to the coming back of the Lord again. You can see how things link together, lock together. And because many times people don't ask the right questions, they don't understand. And so therefore, when they take things out of part and they take what is called a pericope or a cutaway, they don't take advantage of the wisdom, where the wisdom can be found from the person with understanding. But I would to God that I don't be that way. Would to God. It says, in the lips of him that has understanding, wisdom is found. It sounds like the first proverb. In the first proverb, that when we would go through the book, it says, a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsel. Well, people forfeit wisdom because often they don't like the package in which it comes. Sometimes you're too young for them. Sometimes you're too old. Sometimes you might not be the right skin color. You might not have come from the right background. And instead of listening to the words of wisdom, you are ready to be judged and basically sentenced to being one that don't know. But listen to the last part of that. It says, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. An individual that does not get the proper understanding, a rod, a symbol of correction, is for the back of him. He needs to be smitten. He needs to be busted. He needs to be brought down because he's void of understanding and won't take the understanding when it's given. And when it comes down to the things of God, here Jesus is. He's got the mouth of wisdom. He's got the mouth of righteousness. And do you know the people were still arguing with him? Do you know they were still trying to test him? Do you know they were still trying to find a fault in him? In Jesus. When him, the Bible said, dwelt all the treasures of wisdom. And they were still nasty.
That was a man with us. He had a he had a wife. And the first brother died, and you know, with seven brothers, all of them they married and they all died. Who wife she gonna be in the resurrection, huh? You believe in the resurrection, huh? You believe in spirits, huh? Gotcha now. That's the way they felt.
And you know what Jesus told those that were void of wisdom and understanding? First of all, you have to understand something, sons. You don't understand. First, you err. You in error because you don't know the scripture and you don't know the power of God. You don't understand the resurrection. You don't understand what life is like after the resurrection. And you don't understand that they'll be like the angels. And there is no marrying or giving in marriage. And that's a picture, perfect picture, of the one that had wisdom instead of being listened to and learning. And hoping to God that this person has enough wisdom to give you what is right so you can grow. I'm going to try to find something he don't know. I'm going to try to find something he don't understand. And you forfeit the blessing. And the Bible says a rod is for that fool's back. And many of those people, I would submit to you, I believe, will burn in hell. Tim, why do you say that? I believe it's Matthew chapter 11. One of you, Bethsaida, one of you, Capernaum, if the mighty works were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto today. War to you, Tyre, war to you, Sidon. But if the mighty works had been done to you, it would, it talks about, the works that was done, Bethsaida, Chorazin. It talked about another one, I forget, but you go read it. And it talks about how Tyre and Sidon would have remained unto today if the mighty works had been that Jesus did. The point was being made there is, that when you had the opportunity to receive wisdom, you didn't. So now the rod is going to be for your back, the correction, the judgment. Verse number 14 says, and notice this last part right here. I do want you to see where it says, him that is void of understanding. A lot of people don't realize that being void of understanding, you fail to get it. You're destitute of it. You're lacking. You're needy. You don't have what you need. And often that person feels that they do. And that's why the rod is for their back, because they refuse knowledge. Verse 14 says, wise men lay up knowledge. Yes, Lord. But the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Wise men lay up knowledge. They lay up facts. They lay up facts of information. They lay up stuff that they study. They lay it, they treasure it. They lay that information up so it can be used. It says that's what a wise man does. You, a wise man will do just like somebody trying to prepare for their retirement. They lay up knowledge, but the mouth of foolishness near. He just keep talking. He just keep running his mouth. And it's near destruction. Why? Because you don't need have what you need. You're still running your mouth. You're still in a position of terror and ruin because what you've done is put yourself up to the place that your mouth is your ruin.
The mouth of the fool. The foolish. In the destruction. Why?
Because he won't lay up knowledge. He keeps talking. He keeps talking. He don't want to learn. He know he don't know. He know he doesn't know. But he keeps talking like he does. And he's not fooling the wise because the wise is laying up knowledge. Why are you still talking? Lord Jesus. Proverbs would just break a fool down and let him be exposed like he is. Holy glory. You know what the saddest thing is? Many times, when a wise man is around someone wiser, then he has the temptation to be the fool. Will he listen? Will he receive instruction? Or will it be that, I don't want you to tell me anything? Temptation is there. Where you get there from? Remember the lawyer came to Jesus? Master, what's the great commandment? Now the lawyer was wise, am I right? He was wise, but he was in the presence of someone infinitely more wise. The Bible, Jesus said above himself, or greater than Solomon is here. Don't let your mind be confused there. That is what he said. So the lawyer says, what's the great commandment? Jesus answered it. Talking about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And the wise man said, you have answered correctly. Jesus had to give him some more information. And one time, I think it was the same passage, or another passage that talked about it, he talked about the neighbor. And the man said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave him what we call the parable of the Good Samaritan. And then Jesus looked at the man that was supposed to be wise when he gave the parable of what we call the Good Samaritan. You go and do likewise. Why is that? You're wise. You have a certain amount of wisdom. But now it's time for you to sit down and learn. And that's a hard thing to do when you've been in a position of knowing. You better make sure your mind is at the position where you can recognize when somebody has wisdom and become a student and learn from that person. That's not the easiest thing in the world to do. It's not. Some people get intimidated and won't even go around the person. Mm-hmm. Fight them. I've had it happen before. There used to be many people that have been around me, Randall, that left. What? Because I was the greatest thing in the world. I knew more than they did. I was just consistent. Just consistent. If you had saved $10 a day from the day that you were born to this day, right now, at 8% interest, you'd probably be one of the highest, you'd probably be one of the most wealthy men in Atlanta. And some people would be hating you for it. And you say, well, you know, all those six packs that you bought in that beer, you spent just as much. But you're mad at me. And that's how wisdom is. A wise man lays up knowledge. It comes little by little, don't it? Little by little, you just keep on adding to it. That's how you get fat. You just add little by little. Little by little. 2 + 2 = 4. 4 + 4 = 8. 8 + 8 = 16, and 16 + 16 = 32. That's a lot of extra weight. Just keep doubling the weight that you add every 2 years, and you see what happened to you. Well, let's go back to the sweetened word of God. The 15th verse says, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. That's his protection. Let's go back to Jesus. Jesus saw the rich young ruler. He came out and said, Master, what can I do to inherit eternal life? What can I do? Look how wealthy I look. What can I do for you? What can I do for you, good master?
That I might inherit eternal life.
And Jesus, basically, after he got through talking about the commandments, said, go and sell what you have. And the man walked away. Sorrowful. And did Jesus beg him to come back? No. Talked about it. What was the point? That was that man's strong city. But what we needed the children of God to be like, the one in the song, the Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed. And that's what we're talking about, having the Lord as your strong city. But it's a rich man's wealth. Is a strong city, the destruction of the poor, their poverty. Do you understand? A lot of times, a person is poor, and if a person is poor and is broke down, many times that's the very thing that person has that cannot keep them from trouble. You don't have a hedge. Car tap, you don't have a hedge. You run out of food, you don't have a hedge. So when you're looking at wealth here, you're looking at a rich man's wealth, that's his strong city. But when you look at the man's wealth, he doesn't have to be that's his strong city. He could be trusting in the Lord, but some don't. But poverty is a continual problem to the poor. Over and over again, an individual that's poor many times will do things that's not righteous that cause them to be destruction. But the destruction, the thing that bring the poor down, is that many times a person is poor because of their circumstances, and many times by the choices that they made. Verse 16, listen to this. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The work, the toil, the reward, the pay. The labor of the righteous, it tendeth to life. It tendeth to the things that an individual need. It tendeth to his living. But it says the fruit of the wicked to sin. Do you understand that the wages of sin is death? Is it not saying the same thing, that the fruit of the wicked will lead the individual basically to death? If it's leading them to sin, if it's leading them to punishment, the punishment of the wicked, the individual that's righteous, when he works, it's going to be a blessing to him. But the one that does not, when you ultimately look at it, you're going to see that that person is going to be brought down, and things are going to be in a position of turmoil and disarray. He, 17, he that is in the way of life keepeth instruction. And that's an amazing thing to me. It says he keepeth instruction, which is chastisement. However he's chastened, however he's been rebuked, it says he that is in the way of life, he'll keep that chastisement. But he that refuses reproof, erreth. The individual that can't be corrected, the individual that can't be instructed, that individual is the one that wanders out of the way, the one that gets to the place where his life is messed up. Why? Because he refused instruction. And God knows, I've experienced it many times in my life, and now I try to warn other people from trying to get it, and you find that, you know what, they'll fight you before they would take instruction. Verse 18, he that hideth hateth with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Do you understand that there are people that can truly, truly, with all their might, hate you? I mean, with all their might, they can hate you and hide it. You know, I hear sometimes you say, man, you know we partners, man, you know we tight. No, I don't. Somebody said, man, you know I don't. Or you know what I was thinking? I don't. Sometimes people will say something like, man, you know what I was thinking? I say, nope, tell me. I don't know. And it says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. What is that? That's deep. That individual that's going to do that, that individual is going to break somebody down. He's going to hate somebody. He's going to want that person to not know that he's hating. He's going to exercise hypocrisy. And you're going to start cutting that person down because you hate that person. And it says when you do that, you become and you are the fool. You hate him. And you try to hide it, but then you come back out and you slander them. And usually slander has to do with lying. You're not telling the truth on the person. You know, you do defamation. And you're doing an unfavorable report, an evil report. When you say something about somebody, it needs to be the truth. And when you say something about, don't just let it be for fun. Let it be a warning for somebody, to warn somebody else. Not just because I hate you, but you make people aware. Because if you're not going to make somebody aware, and it's like, I just don't like him. I just don't like the way he walks. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like the way he looks. That, what does that have to do with anything? What you need to be saying is, what does this man teach? What does this man say? What is this man saying before you say something about him? You can't tell the truth, shut your mouth. If you can't show somebody how to be benefited from what you're saying, don't keep talking. Well, it says the tongue, I skipped 19, in the multitude of words, listen to this, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. You see that? If you got a whole doggone lot to say, somewhere sin gonna creep in. That's what it's saying. It says in a multitude, so when you got a lot of word, they're wanted. That means there does not lack sin. That's what that wanted means. That wanted not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Individual can keep his lips shut. That's the one that's wise. It says the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. Choice. Something to be valued. Something to be prized. But it says the heart of the wicked. You know, when your heart is not worth much, how much you think you could be worth? If your heart is not worth much, you're not worth much. I don't care how big and strong you look, or tall and beautiful, or sweet and cute. If your heart, and that go for children too. I know a young child right now, her heart ain't right. I know a lot of young people whose heart not right. Parents whose heart not right. And the Bible says the tongue of the just is a choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little worth. I don't want my heart to be of little worth. And I almost say it ain't worth a dime, worth a dog meat to a hungry dog. We've gone through 20 verses. Is there anybody yet that would like to say something or add something to what we've covered? Not verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The lips of the righteous feed many. What are you feeding people? If you're feeding them with the word of God, are you feeding them with wisdom? It says the lips of the righteous feed many. Why can't we make it our business to let our life be righteous, learn and lay up wisdom, know wisdom, so that we can be a success in God, and so that we can feed many that are hungry, that are starving. But it says, but fools die for lack of wisdom, and many times that those lips of wisdom is pouring out food to feed many, but the fool, instead of taking that wisdom and eating off of it, what the fool ends up doing is despising wisdom, and the fool will go take some to somebody else, tell them, and they don't understand what truth is. No, they don't read. No, they just learned something somewhere, maybe in jail, maybe in prison or whatever, but they didn't really take the time to learn what wisdom was, and they would fight you to tooth and nail, and what happens is they can die for lack of wisdom. And the Bible said, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and add no sorrow to it. When you've got the blessing of the Lord, when your hand has been diligent, you can have prosperity. And it said it adds no sorrow to it. Nobody's looking behind your back. Well, you stole this from me, or you stole that from them, or you did that. It said the hand of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Throughout the Bible, we see when God blessed people and he enriched them. But let me tell you something else. When you think about the ultimate blessing of God that make rich, that put you in the family of God, that make you a son of the living God, that make you a royal priesthood, that make you a person that can be a priest, and that you can pray for people, and you can walk with the Lord God Almighty, who is blessed forever, is that not riches to you? Or do you just want to just get the other part and forget this? I don't want to forget this part. If I got to have just one, give me this one. But the Bible says I can have both. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he has no sorrow. You understand that whenever sorrow and temptation comes our way, James, the brother of Jesus, says, my brethren, count it all joy when you enter the divers test, for the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Verse 23, it is sport to a fool to do mischief. Do you understand that that's fun? It is laughter. It is mocking. It's derision. It is sport. It is something that fools do to do mischief. Look at some of the comedy that people do. It is sport. Look at some of the things that people do. If I'm saying it is sport for the wicked to do mischief, it is to enjoy it. They like to do something wicked. They love to have a wicked device. It is, isn't this? It even talk about sometimes it is sport for them to do evil, to do incest, to do chase, to do licentiousness, to do harlotry and idolatry. It is sport for them to do lewd wickedness.
Listen at the mouth of some people. Look at some of the things that they do when we talk about porn. Look at some of the things that people say. Look at some of the things that they do. And the Bible says they say it is sport for them to do mischief. Do you understand that that's bad? We think of mischief like a little child that maybe throwing rocks across the street. It said, but a man of understanding has wisdom. So when you understand, and you understand what God say, and you operate on that level, you have wisdom. You don't operate in that way. You don't live that kind of way. But the Bible said, the fear of the wicked shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. The fear of the wicked, the dread, the thing that the wicked do, the thing that they hate the most, the Bible says it shall come on him. Why would that be? Well, you planted a wicked life, you get a wicked crop. Come on now. That one should be elementary, right? That the fear of the wicked shall come upon him. He ought to know what he planted. He ought to know what should be coming back at him. But it says the desire of the righteous shall be granted. The desire, the thing that you lust for, the thing that your appetite come from, the thing that you desire very much, it shall be granted. Obviously, if you're righteous, you've been planting righteousness. Am I right? That's your harvest. Your harvest. That passage is talking about a harvest. 25 says, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked. No more. As the whirlwind, tear up houses, tear up trees, throw cars, kill some people. It's as the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more. The wicked can come through tearing up things, messing up houses, messing up trees, messing up lives, and one day he's gone. It says that the whirlwind passes, so the wicked is no more, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is the everlasting foundation. There's one day God going to deal with the wicked, and the wicked will cease from troubling, and the weary will be at rest, like W. Job said. But I'm telling you now, the righteous is an everlasting foundation, because we have an everlasting life. When Jesus got up from the grave, you can hear him talking in the book of Revelation, I am he that was dead and liveth. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Everlasting. Don't you want to be in him? Everlasting foundation. Listen to verse 26. It's so pretty. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. As vinegar, and you keep letting vinegar sit on your teeth and eat the enamel off of it, and let smoke get and burn your eyes, so you get a sorry piece of man or a sorry piece of woman, and you're going to send them to do something, they're going to be the same way. It's going to be irritating. It's going to hurt your eyes. It's going to be something that you can't stand. The quicker you can get rid of it and get out of its sight, the better. The sooner you can get away from it, the better you'll be. Let me tell you something. Some of us are sluggish when it comes to God's word. Some people are sluggish when it comes to doing God's will. And I submit to you, many churches breed that sluggish attitude. Yes, it does. You don't want to study. Let me look up the word sluggish and let me give you the definition of that. But we don't use that word too much, sluggish. Sluggish. The word is Listen to this. It says slothful. Sluggard, sluggish, lazy, lazy. And that word is talking about a lazy person. And many people are so lazy. I don't like the beach. It makes me tired. It makes me sleepy. But child, you should have seen Desperate Housewives. Let me tell you what came on the movie the other night. Girl, I saw that movie. I ain't seen that movie in years. It made me think back. And you can watch TV forever because it don't take much. But you're not willing to force yourself to learn. And so it says, as wine, as vinegar to the teeth that hurts, as smoke to the eyes that hurt, being around the lazy and the sorry and the sluggard and the sorry and the shiftless is the same way to those that send them. Jesus is supposed to be sending us out to make disciples of men. Jesus is supposed to be sending us out to be ambassadors for him. Jesus is supposed to be sending us out to have a word of reconciliation. And many of us are lazy. And you think he don't know how to get smoke out of his eyes? You must not know the Jesus I read about. Too much TV is in your heart. Verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Do you hear people always saying, And your days can't be short, and your days, you're going to live as long as you're supposed to live. The Bible says your days can be shortened. Didn't it say it right there? Did you see it? You know, the Bible says it can be prolonged as well. Now, what does that mean? People are like, well, when I die, I just die. It must be my time. And you go out there and run and jumping in front of a truck. You shorten your days. That truck was not going to come way up on the other side of the road and hit you and not hit nobody else. You the one did that. You the one was drinking and driving. You the one slapped the wrong person. You the one kept smoking that coke, that rock. You the one that kept playing the fool. It says the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Why you want to do what he say? You want to live like he says. And it says it prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Certain ways you live. Don't want to hear righteousness? Shorten your days. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The hope, the thing that they desire, the thing that they desire, the righteous, shall be something in gladness. One of my hopes is that I'll be able to go through this whole Word of God and teach this Word of God and be a benefit and a blessing to those that want to learn it. That's part of my hope. My hope is to see men that will love God's Word, learn God's Word, and teach God's Word in His strength and in His power and live the life. That would be my hope. It would bring me gladness. But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. They expect many times to live forever. They have their names up in light. They expect everyone to be so happy to see them. And they expect everything to be okay. And sometimes they even expect that when I die, I just die. It's over. It's just, The expectation of the wicked shall perish. Not only that expectation, many times people that are wicked, they think they're going to heaven anyway. That's the expectation. All roads go to heaven. Did you see that man on Oprah? He was talking about the secret. Well, the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. That's the scripture people need to learn and have bad children. That's the scripture that people need to learn right there when they don't know how to handle situations. You've got to understand if you're in the Lord, it says the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Lean on the Lord. Well, the Lord told me to tell you this because I know what His word is saying. I can't do what you say. That's where your strength comes from. You have to correct your child. That's where your strength comes from. You got to walk away from a job. That's where your strength comes. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. But the destruction should be to the workers of iniquities. Destruction. But those that work iniquity, those are the ones that end up that God hates in Psalms 5 and 5 and Psalms 11 and 5. It says explicitly, but destruction. Because they're going to reap what they sow, and God's judgment is going to come upon them. Verse 30 says, the righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The righteous, you're going to inherit this earth. The righteous, those that trust God, how do they get that way? Psalms 1 says they stay in the Word. They meditate in the Word day and night. They're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. They bring forth fruit in their season. Their leaf don't wither. Whatever they do is prosper. They will not be moved. It says, and that's a beautiful thing to hear. The righteous shall never be moved. Stay righteous. But the wicked shall not inherit the earth. The wicked. You're not going to inherit it. God's going to deal with you. You're going to inherit Gehenna. Verse 31 says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out. Verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness of perverseness. Verse 31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. Why? Because he's into what's right. He's into what's accurate. He's into what God wants. And what that individual does, he brings forth wisdom because he's talking about what God wants. He's talking about the thing that God wants us to have. Now, even in the street, somebody that's wise, they can bring forth wisdom. But it said the forward tongue, it should be cut out. One of these days, a person with a forward tongue, it's going to be destroyed. It's going to be brought out. It's going to be brought to an end. It's going to be shut down completely because that individual speaking foolishness is going to show up one day and God's going to deal with him. Again, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable.
They know what God is, what is pleasing to God. They know what God is willing to take. Acceptable, that will delight God, that will be pleasing to God. But it says the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness. We call that kind of stuff comedy. We call that stuff having your own mind. We call that stuff not letting somebody get, make you no Bible thumper. But the word of God know what is forward and perverse. And God know what is righteous. What is forward and perverse? That that contradicts God. That that contradicts his word. That that make God, when God says something is important, people say it's not. His word is always important. Get it however you can. Whatever you do, get it. Understand it and live it. You're talking about success on both levels. Material and physical and spiritual. That's a beautiful thing. Walking around, you might even end up being another Job. I don't know. But as long as you make your mind up, I'll never be moved. I'll never fall away from God. I'm going to stay with him. If hell or high water, they call it. I'm going to stay with him. I'm going to stay with the rock of my salvation. Is that good? That's a good passage.
That was a good passage.
I want to see if anybody got anything to say on that passage. But they had a lot of different ones that were coming rapid fire. All of them didn't look
good. You told the truth on that.
Thank you.
You told the truth on that. That's good. You told the truth.
You know, I will make one comment. I tell myself that sometimes I'm just going to sit and listen, but it's hard not to make one comment. You know, as you're going through this, I'm thinking, you know, a lot of this is really just, it should be common sense. I said it should be common sense, but it's not, especially if a person is just thinking of themselves and thinking of this world and thinking of what you can get out of this world. Just never stop to think about God and that one day you are going to leave this world. You know, like you commented on Isaac Hayes and Bernie Mac, you know.
Mm-hmm.
From what I can gather, neither one of those guys were sick for a long period of time. And they probably woke up that day thinking that they would see the next day, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. So it just reminded me, I did look this passage in Romans chapter 2, I think, verse 14 says, for when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law unto themselves. I mean, it just tells me that a person can do instinctively right. You know, I would think that if there was something in them, but don't many people do that. You know?
That makes good sense.
So that's my one comment.
Ladies, go ahead, Ram.
Did you tell the truth?
Was there any particular verse in there you liked really well?
The last three.
Okay, tell us about it.
What people say. And when they say they're going to cut the tongue, they're going to cut it out.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to cut some tongue there.
Mm-hmm.
One more tongue. And they say when the wicked speak forwardly,
mm-hmm.
forwardly, they don't understand that.
No. And they're so quick to do it.
Yeah, they're quick to do it.
And sometimes they can know scriptures and still do it. So quick to do it. Feel like they think the Lord ain't gonna really bust them like he said he will. Oh, but he will. He's fully able.
That's the thing. So sad. God is not doing anything.
Scary. Anybody else would like to say anything on the conference line before we close tonight?
No, I've enjoyed it.
Okay. So you're speaking for the other lady too?
No, I enjoyed it also.
Hi.
Hello. Who
do is I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. Father, thank you for your blessed, your righteous word. Thank you for showing us wisdom, showing us where and what we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to live our lives in such a way that they can be blessings. People can feed off of our lives. They can grow from off our lives. They can be blessed from our lives. And that we won't be the kind of people that wisdom is lacking, but that wisdom will be in us, through us, that we can magnify your name in our life, in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus. We want to do these things